Tell us, John, why do you run so fast? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Happy Easter to all. It's such a joy as a priest to look out and see the church full, all the blossoms of grace here, and then to turn to the altar and see it adorned so beautifully, all of creation coming to sing the praises of the Lord. As we heard last night, even the bees contributing their portion to make this beautiful candle that beams forth with the light of the risen Lord. The beautiful music, all the time and dedication that goes into cultivating such beauty and pouring it out lavishly, this costly oil, pouring it out at the feet of our risen Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I remember about 10 or so years ago, college-aged man, I had left the seminary and I was working at the golf course, and it just so happened on occasion, if I was lucky, and I mean that, if I was lucky, I enjoyed this job very much. I would get to go out and be the one in the driving range who sat in the little cart and drove around. It was more satisfying than mowing, taking this little implement through the whole range, picking up all the golf balls, and perhaps the added thrill of a few golfers yet at the end of the day, at the close of the range, nailing their drives as they come bouncing by the cart. I remember that very specifically. And I would take these balls that I had gathered from the driving range, take them into the machine to wash them. I would watch them as they were washed, made clean, seemingly made new. They would come out of the washing machine, and I would at sometimes find golf balls that I had no idea how they got there, especially considering the driving range at Auburn Hills is not alongside one of the holes as it is in many other golf courses. And it was a mystery to me. Why are these nice golf balls, a few of them interspersed with the driving range golf balls? And it was revealed to me by my boss, and I had noticed after that moment, after he pointed it out, that a golfer at the end of his ropes, a 75-ball bucket, if he didn't end on a perfect shot, he would simply drop one of his own and hit it again. That was his way of ending on a perfect note. Not on the mess up that was his previous end of the line, but this added lifeline, this added mercy of his own resources, the perfect shot. I also remember as a small child in the piano recitals, now I'm no Mozart, so the little melodies I was plucking along were nothing to be proud of. But I remember as a small child, I've seen videos, my parents laugh about it. I've seen videos of I'd be playing the piece that I was playing for the recital, and I would hit the wrong note. And instead of trying to just keep going, I would stop and apologize to the people there listening and play it from the very beginning in hopes that it would be perfect that time. Perfection. My brothers and sisters, today, for this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day where we rejoice. This is the day where we are made new. We see a different image of perfection. We see a different image of beauty, not one without wounds or merely on an emphasis of not having flaws, but we see this beautiful symbol of Christ who was wounded, who appears in his resurrection with his wounds. My brothers and sisters, these aren't dissident notes. This isn't a perfect golf shot. We would expect the Savior to be perfect in his integrity, in his risen form, but no, he appears with his wounds. Tell us, John, why do you run so fast? Why do you arrive at the tomb first? What swells up in your heart in this moment of waiting, of hope? We get to see in my brothers and sisters that in this moment, on this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and in it we rejoice and are glad. We experience on this day that this is not merely the undoing of the cross, but its transformation. That Jesus isn't just resuscitated, he is resurrected, and there is a profound difference. And today we get to glimpse into that difference. We get to glimpse into that distinction. That the wounds of the Savior proclaim this so eloquently, a blood which speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. This is our inheritance. This is our song. This is our vines. He is the vine. We are the branches. He is our life. He is our hope. He is our glory. And he is risen from the dead. My brothers and sisters, today we recognize that the cross, suffering, isn't merely poison, but the pearl at the bottom of the chalice, because he drank it first before it was offered to us. And we can recognize this struggle for new life in our own hearts, this own battle, this hesitancy, this weariness of our hearts that John so beautifully demonstrates the opposite. The weariness to embrace our sufferings. But today there is hope because of he who calls to us and he who makes us new. Tell us, John, why do you run so fast? On this day, my brothers and sisters, let us embrace this highest solemnity of all, the most historic day in all of creation in which we are drawn into. And we can recognize not just this maze of flowers that we kneel before, but a garden made new, for that is where the tomb was, in the garden. May we be lifted up in our celebration of this Easter joy, my brothers and sisters, to recognize transformation that comes through the cross, not in spite of it, through the cross, through the cross, through the cross, to the glory of the risen Lord, who appears mercifully and lovingly with his wounds that proclaim the greatest triumph of all. Tell us, John, why do you run so fast?